a joke this morning? You going to laugh? Or are you going to be like my wife and say, if it's funny, I'll laugh? Yeah, no, you ready to worship this morning? Well, welcome. I know there's still some folks coming in, and I want to welcome the live stream audience. You know, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to be here with us and to be in every home, no matter where they are. Can we do that? All right, let's pray. Father, we rejoice as your people. Father, we, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our lives, your love is good and your love is proven. We ask you now to send your Holy Spirit to this place, to every home that this service is reaching out to. Knit our hearts together. Stir us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Power, power, wonder-working power in the You can be seated. Kids, it's time for the children's sermon. Come on now.
Sunflower blooms. He blooms in the east. And so as the sun rises in the east in the morning, the sunflower turns to the sun. Now as the sun travels through the sky during the day, that sunflower travels with the sun, always facing the sun. And then at the end of the day, at sunset, the sunflower bows its head, and it's bowing its head so that the birds do not peck at the seeds. But then when it's ready in the morning and it goes right back to the east, so that when the sun rises again in the east, the sunflower is ready to face the sun and to be faithfully following that sun all day long. Every day, from morning to night, the sunflower is following the sun. You and I need to be like the sunflower. We need to be follow God's son, Jesus. Because with our eyes, we need to wake up in the morning, and the first thing we need to think about is Jesus. And we need to think about Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus all day long, all the way to sunset, where we say our prayers, bow our heads, sleep, and first thing in the morning, we need to put our eyes on Jesus again and follow Jesus. Now, what's the advantage to following and keeping our eyes on Jesus all day long? The truth is that sometimes we have a hard time during the day. Sometimes we get angry. Maybe our brothers and sisters. And so all of a sudden we're angry. Now, if we keep our eyes on Jesus and we are focused on him, even though we feel like hitting our brother or sister, we choose not to because Jesus would not want us to. Okay, so Jesus doesn't want us to hit our brother or sister, so maybe we'll yell at them instead. But if our eyes are on Jesus, we know Jesus does not want us to yell either. So we change our minds. And we think, what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to love. He wants us to love our neighbors. So we've got to somehow, even though we're angry with our brother or sister, react in a loving way. Yes.
Yesterday when I was mad at my brother, all they did was I got my stuffed animal and they hugged it.
Maybe you hug a stuffed animal instead. You walk away. Maybe you chose nice words to try to talk out whatever you're angry about. Maybe whatever it is, though, because you are facing God and thinking about Jesus, it affects how you act. It changes the way you might feel like behaving, and you choose not to. Another feeling, sometimes we feel sad or lonely. Our best friend hurt our feelings, or maybe someone we don't even care for, they hurt our feelings. So all of a sudden, we're feeling sad, we're feeling alone. But if we are facing Jesus at that time during the day, we know we're not alone. Jesus is with us. It doesn't matter if our friend is angry with us. Jesus is with us. He's our friend. He's listening to us. He cares about us. We are never alone because Jesus is there.
What if we're scared of the dark and Jesus is not there?
Even in the dark, Jesus is there. It's true. So we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and he will help us learn and grow to be more like him, because we are keeping our eyes on him and allowing him to change our behavior. In 1 John 2:6, it says, "This is how we know we are in God. Whoever claims to live in God must live in Jesus too." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, help us to follow Jesus in all we do, every minute of every day, just as the sunflower follows the sun. Lord, by following Jesus and allowing him to be our focus, may we grow. May we grow to know you more, to love you more, to love our neighbors more, and to exemplify you in all we do. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. If you're worshiping with us at home, God bless you. We're honored that you would tune in with us this morning. Just a couple of things that coming up. They're in your bulletin. You can investigate those a little deeper if you want to. Wednesday night, start back on June 16th. VBS is the 27th through the 30th. And I understand there are two really talented incredible human beings that are going to visit VBS this year. That doesn't happen every year, but this year it will be awesome. You'll just have to come to see if it's awesome or not. The jury's still out on that, but we'll see. And then Promise Keepers is July 16th and 17th. If you want to attend that, you can look for links to sign up either through Jeff's email. There will be one on the app as well, or you can contact me. And if you want to register your attendance with us sometime today, that would also be helpful. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. You know, as we recite the Apostles' Creed, there are probably millions of believers around the world that are reciting this today. And these are the things that unite our hearts. Say this with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Today on the Christian calendar, it is Pentecost Sunday. And my goodness, what a difference that day made several thousand years ago. I would have loved to have been there. I probably wouldn't have been one of the 140 in the upper room. I probably would have been in the crowd. But, you know, just think about the impact that day had. You know, Jesus did ministry for 3 years. He taught, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. The greatest teacher that's ever lived. And at the end of his ministry, there's 140 people gathered in a room praying to the Lord and waiting to be clothed with power from on high. Now, I'm not saying there's only 140 believers during that time, but I would have thought that number might have been more. So the Holy Spirit comes that day, and Peter, we all know Peter's track record, right? And so he gets up, he preaches one lousy sermon, and 3,000 people get saved. So what was the difference that day? It was the Holy Spirit. And not so much anointing Peter's words, because Jesus was anointed as well, right? More so than Peter. But it was the Holy Spirit moving on the crowd, moving on the hearts of the people, convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And church, that was a significant day. And so we need the Holy Spirit. In 2021, we need the Holy Spirit. So the prayer focus this morning is going to be that. So let's turn our hearts towards the Father, turn our affections towards Him. You know, Carlene and I have got a trip coming up this week, and I have all this stuff running through my head about what I need to do and how we need to prepare for that. But during this time, I need to turn my gaze towards heaven. And I think all of us do as well. So, Lord, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for our helper. We thank You for our friend. We thank You for our counselor that You've given us. Jesus, I'm grateful that when You left this earth, that You promised that You would not leave Your believers, Your disciples, as orphans, that You would send the Holy Spirit. And we see that happening at Pentecost. And that same Holy Spirit that was poured out that day exists in fullness this day. And God, You have not given us a portion of the Holy Spirit. I believe You've given us all of the Holy Spirit. And our issue is not Him having Him being in us in fullness, it's us submitting to Him in fullness. So, Lord, You have a task for us to accomplish, and that can't be accomplished without the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I ask for boldness. Holy Spirit, would You move in our hearts? Would You move in our lives to where we would have boldness, that we'd have passion for those who are hurting, passion for the lost? And whatever breaks the Father's heart, I pray that it break our heart as well. Do a work inside of us. And I thank You for that life-changing power. And Holy Spirit, forgive us for not being tender to Your touch. And forgive us for not exhibiting the fruit of You. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The world needs to see that in us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to not just for that to ooze out of us, because Scripture says out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I pray for rivers of Your fruit to flow out of us to touch a world that's hurting, to touch our co-workers, to touch our families. And as ambassadors of Christ, Holy Spirit, I pray that You moving us in such a way that our light shines brightly to a world that's hurting, that it'll outshine the darkness as we testify about the goodness of the Son. And Jesus, You prayed, or Scripture says about You that You will come, when You come, You'll baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know what the fire means, but it sounds like there may be something that we're missing. There may be something that we need. So, Holy Spirit, just light us up. Light us up with Your fire. Refine us, renew us. Use us for the Father's glory. Fill us. I pray that there's less of us and more of You in our lives. I pray that You increase as we decrease. And there may be some this morning that have not encountered You. And Lord, I pray that before they leave You this day, Holy Spirit, that they encounter the love of Jesus. Jesus comes to rule and reign in their hearts, and then You come to do Your work. And for those of us that know You, stir us. I pray that we look back on this day, May 23rd, 2021. And we can say that was a significant day, a day that we encountered the precious Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you would like to bring to the altar, you can do that this morning, and you could also give online. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. And for presence, Lord.
God spoke to everybody on the earth yesterday. Yesterday I saw a rainbow. I'll never forget when my dad told me what the rainbow meant. God's promise to never flood the earth again. God spoke in a powerful way yesterday. And then again, God spoke this morning. A good friend, he sent me a scripture. It was just for me. In my Bible reading this morning, God spoke. It was the Greek lady who had the possessed daughter in Mark. Jesus said, I'm going to let the children eat first, not the dogs. I'm going to feed my children first. And she goes, well, even the dogs want to eat the crumbs that the children leave behind. But praise God, we're not dogs anymore, are we? Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we're invited to the table along with God's children. You've got a name place. When you get to that table, there's going to be a little tent and it's going to have your name on it. We'll be seated with the children of God. Because of the work of Jesus Christ. Through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, we're in your presence now. All around us. Inside of us. The work of your hands is something that we see every day. No one can deny that there is an all-powerful God.
Holy Spirit, Jesus.
once more.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come.
Trevor, thanks for that visual image. What came to my mind as you're talking about the wedding feast for the bride. Here's what came to my mind as we were worshiping. Have you ever been to some sort of a banquet, and like maybe at the Civic Center or something like that, and you walk in and it's a big banquet and there's tables everywhere and the tables have numbers and they'll say you're at table four, and you go to sit at the table and you have a little nameplate if they were expecting you, and you sit down. What came to my mind was our hearts should break as for the people that come in and they're looking for their table and they're looking for their nameplate and there's no nameplate. Our hearts should break for that. That's what the awkwardness of that. If you've ever done that, when you come to that table and you see your nameplate, there's just kind of this, oh, okay. Right. They were expecting me. They're ready for me. I said, here's my place. And when you come to that moment. But imagine walking around the room and there's no place for you. That should break our hearts for those that are without seats at that heavenly banquet. That's what it's all about, is sharing that good news with people. So again, welcome. Glad that you are with us this morning. I am. It's good to be, as Billy reminded us, it's good to be reminded of the Holy Spirit. As I've said before, every Sunday we invite the Holy Spirit several times. I mean, as I'm in preparation for this day, I know others of you are doing that. We are praying that the Holy Spirit would be here. We do that before church. We have people, actually our prayer team during church that are asking the Holy Spirit to come and to stir our hearts and to change us. So I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. That is our goal and our intention, to invite Him. Again, welcome to our live stream. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit wherever you are this morning. If you're our guest this morning, we're really glad you're here and hope you do feel that love of the Holy Spirit, but also the love of His people. You know, I don't know. Every time we have a children's message down here, and I see this herd of kids leaving, something inside of me just soars. Don't you love seeing all those children? If some of those are yours, I know that you're in panic mode, is wondering what they're going to say. But I love those kids. Love seeing them. If you are our guest this morning, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, should be there, that's got a blue stripe that says guest. Would love for you to fill that out. You're not required to do that by any means, but would love to know that you were here. And at the end of the service, I'll be out in this end of the foyer down here, and would love to meet you and have a gift for you as well. In 2 weeks, our new chief of police, Dudley, Marcus Dudley, will be here with his family. I know they are also in the process of moving. His children just got out of school in Colorado, And these last couple of weeks of May, they're supposed to be moving, so that I'm hoping that they'll be back and somewhat settled where they can be with us. That is the plan. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 30. John chapter 8, verse 30. Even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." We're a slave to somebody. Did you know that? "Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We ask you now to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Back, I don't know how long ago it's been, back a few years ago when I still had functioning knees, Cheryl and I did backpacking. You've heard me talk about that before. But one of the things, and this was, a lot of times we would do it, do our backpacking in the summer months when there was, most of the snow had melted, but there were still areas where, especially when you got up into higher elevation, there were still areas where there were a lot of snows, and they had these things, I've talked about them before, these things called cairns, throw that up there, Lee. And that hikers over the years had built these mounds of stones, and as long as the snow cover did not exceed the height of the stone, the cairn, you could map your way. It was an area, a way for you to stay on track, to not get lost up there in the mountains. We are continuing the sermon series, Navigating Hard Times, Navigating Hard Times. Today's message is Seek Truth. Last week we talked about, as we are in these unprecedented times, and it's not just COVID, but I mean just culturally, we are in unprecedented times, and it is getting harder and harder to remain faithful to God's Word. And in fact, if you are faithful to God's Word, I read an article this morning from a pastor, a high-profile pastor, that said that if, and he was addressing it mainly to pastors, but I think this applies to Christians, if you are speaking the truth, even speaking the truth in love, if you're staying true to God's Word, expect criticism. Expect it. You know, that it's coming at you if we truly try to adhere to God's Word. But so how do we navigate these times? And the other thing, one of the other things in this article that I really liked, he said, look, we shouldn't dread these times. The church, we're created for these times because we are light within darkness. We are the hope that the world has. I mean, that God is saying, church, stand up. This is your time to shine, baby. And if we don't keep, last week we talked about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. In all these next few weeks, as we unpack this series, I'm going to try to give us these cairns that keep us on our path. So today is seeking truth, and I've talked about truth before. It's been a few years ago, the last time I really spent much time on that topic. But Jesus spoke, I mean, it's recorded 78 times in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 78 times. Google it. You'll or if you've got some Bible software, look at it. 78 times he says, "I tell you the truth." In response to something that's going on, he starts out his teaching, "I tell you the truth." Well, if there's truth, then there must be something else that's in opposition to the truth. We're going to unpack that a little bit more here in a minute. In fact, Jesus, as he's coming to the end of his earthly life, and he is standing before Pilate, he says this to Pilate, "For this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. I tell you the truth. I have come to testify to the truth." So, as we talked about last week, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, one of the things Jesus did is he knew God's word. And when Satan came at him, he always responded with the truth of God's word. So we're just going to jump right in. I've got a lot of information I want to try to go through today. So I'm going to hit it pretty quick. You've got an insert there if you want to follow along. Number one, well, as we're seeking truth, we need to understand that Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus, I love this, is one of the most famous things. Jesus said, "I am the way." What does that mean? Well, he's the way to salvation. I mean, he's the way to eternal life. He's the way to abundant life. He's the way. And he says, "I'm the truth." What does that mean? Well, you want to, if you're seeking truth, look to me. And then he says, "And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Man, I tell you, again, I know y'all think my head can't explode that many times, but when I hear Christians, and even more importantly, when I hear pastors saying that all religions are basically it's basically the same God, it's all basically the same thing, we're just kind of call ourselves different things, my head literally wants to explode. No one else says, you know, no other faith says that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God with us, Emmanuel, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on a cross, that he was resurrected, that he ascended to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the gospel. No other faith says that. "I am the way," Jesus said. "I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So don't be fooled. Read God's word. Don't be fooled into thinking that, oh, it's all basically the same thing. Where it's like Christianity is not this, it's not a all these different things that we're to do somehow to attain holiness. No, it's this holy God that loved us, a sinner, that has come down and has saved us. I'm getting ahead of myself, but here we go. The law, John 1:17, the law was given through Moses. Prior to Jesus being born, the way to remain faithful to the covenant with God was to obey the law. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I heard this not long ago, and it makes sense to me. I don't know if it will you, but we sometimes you can't have, if you have a quarter, a true quarter, you can't, I mean, if it says, "I only like tails, I only like the tail side of a quarter," well, let me have just the tail side. Well, no, I mean, a quarter has a heads and a tails. I mean, you take the quarter, you got to take the heads and the tails. Well, you can't just have grace, you must have grace and truth. You can't just have justice and love work together. I don't know if any of that makes sense to anybody but me, but it makes sense to me. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. You want to know what's true? Seek him. Seek him. Secondly, so how do we do that? Secondly, God's word proclaims truth. There's so many scriptures that back up these things that we're going to talk about this morning. I mean, I could have filled pages and pages. I tried to whittle down just to get the point across. But God's word proclaims truth. Jesus, again, said, sanctify them. Speaking of his followers, sanctify them, meaning to make holy. Sanctify them by what? The truth. You want to be holy? You want to be sanctified? Seek the truth. And the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get there, the Holy Spirit is part of that. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We have truth. That doesn't, I promise you, by having this in your bookshelf, you're not going to absorb it by osmosis. I promise it's not going to happen. You have to open it up and read it. Don't rely on me to tell you what it says. That's the mistake the early church did, that the early Christians did. God has given us his word. Sanctify them, Jesus said. Make them holy by the truth, and your word is truth. 2 Timothy, and I love this, as Paul's coming to the end of his life, and he's got this young man, Timothy, that he's been mentoring, and he's given him all sorts of knowledge before he dies. And he says this, all scripture is God-breathed. It's God-inspired, and it has a purpose. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is a purpose to God's word. This is God-breathed, God-inspired, and it has a purpose to make us holy, to show us righteousness, how to conduct ourselves. Now there are. I'm trying to be as nice as I can be, but there are. Sometimes it's hard. There are people that proclaim their faith in Christ that will take and choose. They'll edit this and they'll pick and choose what they like and what they don't like. Well, I don't know about you, but if you believe this to be God's inspired word, it says all scripture is God-breathed. That's what his word says. It's not like, well, the parts you like are God-inspired, God-breathed. No, all scripture is God-breathed. So what does it say? What does it say about marriage? What does it say about sexuality? What does it say about our conduct? What does it say about all these issues that we're facing as a culture? Well, we have to read it. Find out. Because I promise you, did you know that God is not undecided on any issue? Did you know that? Is this on? God's made up his mind on every issue we face. And did you know that he's not confused about any of them? So here's the deal, church. Seek him. Because if he knows truth and we don't, seek him. Let him inspire us. Which leads me to the third point. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. So Jesus is the truth. God's word proclaims the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into that truth. So see, it's just like it's all working together. It's all this package deal. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So if we're seeking Jesus and we're reading his word and we're asking the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, we're going to know truth. I've shared this before, but it's been a while. When I really feel like for the very first time, I was 30 years old. For the very first time, I really feel like I kind of encountered the Holy Spirit and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, I mean, I didn't go to a class or anything. It's like, suddenly I just like, wait a minute. What I've been thinking about that is wrong. All these issues that I'd been foggy on or that the world had convinced me is different. All of a sudden, it's just like through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, suddenly I'm just like, wait a minute. That's not right. And one of those, and please, this is not to heap condemnation because God is not a God of condemnation. But one of those issues was abortion. Back at younger days, I was like, well, I kind of see both sides of this thing, you know? And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. No. Now, I recognize either in this room or even online that there are people who've either had abortions or talked someone else into having an abortion or think that it's okay. And this is not about condemning that. That's, again, the flip side of the law is grace. I mean, that God, I've counseled and ministered to couples who've had abortions. And the first thing I tell them is, that's why Jesus hung on a cross. Because we mess up. We're sinners. We're broken. But that doesn't change the fact that God is the creator of life. He knits us together in our womb. Once again, it's in here. He knits us together in our womb. It's not our place to take that away. That's not our place. I've heard it once. That's above our pay grade. Now, if Jesus is truth and God's Word proclaims truth and the Holy Spirit guides us into truth, then as I said earlier, then there's something that's opposite of truth, because Jesus wouldn't be working so hard to give us the truth if there wasn't something that was going against that. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. Guess what? Our enemy, the devil, guides us into lies. Hello. Fourth thing, truth leads us to salvation. This one was kind of new to me as I started really just unpacking the scriptures on this, that 2 Timothy, again, chapter 3, again, Paul is teaching Timothy, and he says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You want to know? If you're searching, if you're trying to figure this whole Christianity thing out, open up God's Word and just read it. I know people who I had a friend of mine was challenged. There was an atheist, and he was challenged to read the New Testament by a pastor. This was years ago. And he was reading, and he said, man, it was just words, it was just words, it was just words. And a few days into it, he said, one thing I did, if I took on a challenge, I did it. If I told somebody I was going to do something, I did it. And so he's reading, and he's about halfway through the New Testament, and all of a sudden, he came to a verse that said, here's the verse, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Hello. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the hope of God. Open His Word leads to salvation. God our Savior, again in Timothy, God our Savior wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There it is again. 2 Thessalonians, from the beginning God chose us to be saved. How? Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. And the Word proclaims it and the Holy Spirit guides us there and it leads to salvation. And I've talked about this a little bit already, but we're going to unpack it a little bit more. Truth has opposition. Now this is, as we're navigating these unprecedented times, we have to understand this. Truth has opposition. From the very beginning, this is what Jesus has to say in John 8. Jesus said, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. Speaking of Satan, when he lies, he speaks his native language. That's the only thing that he knows how to speak. For he is, I love this, Jesus don't mess around, does he? He is a liar. And he's the father of lies. for people that think Jesus was this wimpy little guy, just read the word. He didn't play around. The serpent said to the woman, after God has promised Adam and Eve this beautiful garden, and said, you got the run of the place, just don't do this one thing, or you will surely die. He knew that when they made that the wrong choice, that sin would come in and that death would follow. And the serpent, here's what the serpent said to Eve. You will not surely die. God may have said you're going to die if you do this. You're not going to die. That's what the enemy said. And he's still doing it today. Today, things that we face today, you just go to that one little website. Just that one little website. And that's okay. It's going to be okay. Nobody will know. Just how many times have you seen where people are embezzling money from a company, and what's the first thing when they're caught? What's the first thing they always say? Come on, I was going to pay it back. You can pay this back. It's a lie. And nobody will ever know. He's a liar. Jesus, I love Jesus, man. He lays it out there. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Don't believe him. How do we know the difference? Read the word. Keeps coming back. Read the word. As you read the word, ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind to what God would tell you. God's not confused. Our culture's terribly confused. Our politicians are confused. Even people in pulpits are confused. I've told you this before, and I'll say it one more time. If you ever hear anything come from this pulpit that doesn't jive with this, I want you to challenge me. Confront me. Now, there's other things that I'd just assume you keep to yourself, but if I'm contradicting God's word, you know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. All right, now, so in 1 John, I want to read this just two or three verses here. I think it's in your handout. Here's what it says. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. He's speaking of the false spirits. Because the one who is in you, who's in us, if we're a Christian? The Holy Spirit. The one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Who's in the world? Satan. They, speaking again of false spirits, are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. Man, was that written last week? Seems like it. We, Christians, are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood, lies. And I'm going to hit these real quick. I don't think they're in your handout, but if you want this in written form, just let me know. There's this two competing worldviews that's happening all the time as we speak. And I'm going to highlight some of the differences real quick. You got the secular worldview, the spirit of falsehood. And you got the Christian worldview, the spirit of truth. And you can see it there on your screen. The first, for the spirit of falsehood worldview, truth is relative. In other words, have you ever heard anybody say, well, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. No. I promise you, if you jump off a building, there's not going to be any debate about what's going to happen. Truth of the matter is, gravity's real. You're going to fall. It isn't going to be pleasant. But our culture is saying, you make it up. You define it. In Christian worldview, truth is absolute. And the world, I'm telling you, the world doesn't like that because it sounds boastful. I'm not boasting about that. It's just the way it is. It's not my truth. worldview, of the secular worldview, truth is created. It can change daily, and it has been. The Christian worldview, truth is discovered. The secular worldview, truth is subjective. If it's a personal opinion. For the Christian worldview, truth is objective. It's measurable facts. Secular, every opinion is right. Anybody, any of these, you seeing any of these in our culture? Christian worldview, everyone has a right to their opinion. Secular, truth is personal belief or perspective. Christian worldview, belief does not determine truth. Quickly, I'll tell you that I've said this before, but before I became pastor here and I spent about a year doing some evangelism going around, and I went to the church that I won't say the name of the church, but it was not anything I'd ever, I mean, it had Christian in the name, but it was just something I wasn't familiar with. And I remember asking the lady when she asked me to come speak, I said, like, tell me a little bit about your faith. I'm just really not familiar. And she said, oh, yeah, we're Bible believing and we're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm in. Count me in. So I show up and they hand me this program. And on the very front of the bulletin, it said, where we recite the affirmation of faith, they had the statement of being, B-E-I-N-G, being. And I'm like, what the heck is that? So I'm reading it. I mean, it's, you know, Pluto and Mars have to align, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm just like, oh, Lord, what have I got myself into here? And so I went to the gentleman who greeted me, and he was very nice, and I said, I read your statement of being, and I just don't know that, because I was going to give him the gospel. And I said, I don't want to offend your church. You know, y'all have invited me here, and I just don't know if I line up with that. And here's what he said. No matter what you say, he said, it's going to be fine. No matter what you say, it'll be just fine. Because we believe that we're all on our different paths. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. We have several different people that have different perspectives in the congregation. And so I just kind of listened to him, and I'm like, okay, I think I need to go take a potty break. So I went to the restroom, and I was just like, Lord, what do I do? And I just felt in my spirit, just give them the truth. Tell them the truth. And man, I came out, and the guy, I had fire coming out of my ears, I think. And I'm giving them the gospel, and I'm thinking, I'm fixing to get some rotten tomatoes thrown up here. And man, when the service was over, they thanked me. They were so, it was so good. And we I'm not kidding you. We gathered in a circle, and it wasn't Kumbaya, but it was something similar. We sang. And I could not get out of there fast enough. Now, I don't say that to condemn them. I'm just saying that's what's out there. And this church had Christian in the name. It's not true because we believe it. We believe it if it's true. And then finally, I think I'm down to the last one there, Lee. Tolerance is a word we hear. Tolerance means, for the secular worldview, to agree that all claims of truth must be accepted as equal and valid. And I might add there, except for the claim that Jesus is the Christ and has died for your sin. Everything else is equal and valid except that one. They set that one aside. And then for the Christian worldview, tolerance means it's okay to agree to disagree. You know, you do have a right to your opinion. You have every right to that. That's what the Christian worldview says about tolerance. So, there's opposition to the truth. Now, what does Scripture say? How does sin, when we succumb to things that are not true, that's sin. How does sin affect us? Well, I'm going to hit these really, really quickly, and I'm just going to just kind of give you the Scripture reference. If you want these later, you can watch the recording or ask me for them. The first thing sin does as we responding to truth, it makes us, we turn away from the truth. Sin We turn away. Timothy, Second Timothy again, Paul is teaching Timothy, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's happening all over. And that's what I'm telling you, church. This is our time to shine as the church. If you are bound up in some kind of struggle and sin in your life, and you hear me right here from this pulpit say that's okay, that's good stuff, huh? We like to be affirmed. I know you don't, you know, I know the Bible says it, but the preacher said that was okay. We like that. We turn away from the truth, and we find people that will tell us what we want to hear. That's what sin does. Secondly, we suppress the truth. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. We suppress it. It's like, no, it doesn't really say that. God didn't really say. We suppress it. We distort the truth. That's what we saw last week that Satan tried to do to Jesus. Acts 20, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Even from your own number. I mean, it's almost like he's saying, you might even hear some false doctrines taught in the church. Man. Hoo-hoo-hoo. It's happening. We reject the truth. Sin makes us reject the truth. For those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. It's God's word. God doesn't like that when we reject the truth. Because guess what? Jesus is the truth. When we reject truth, we're rejecting him. We exchange the truth for a lie. Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. It's happening all around us, church. So, Jesus is the truth. God's Word proclaims the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth, which leads to salvation, but we must understand there's opposition. There are two different people competing for our hearts and our minds. The first is Satan, who Jesus has labeled as the father of lies. And what happens if we follow that path? It leads to death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We may feel good, we may think that we're getting away with whatever it is, but I promise you, I can't even tell you in my own life as well as people that I've ministered to, I can't even tell you how many times that sin catches up with us. Sin catches up with us. We think we're getting away with stuff. And that's really, you know, we've probably been watching too many horror movies. We think Satan is like, you know, this little evil-looking guy with the little horns and all that. A lot of times it's just right up here. And he whispers to us, it'll be okay. Just do. Nobody will know. Just a little bit. Just go to that one website. It'll be okay. That girl at work, she likes you better than your wife. He whispers these things. And then when we act, he heaps shame on us. I can't believe what a scum. You call yourself a Christian. He's all about shame. There's a way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. And Jesus, the truth, he leads to life. He says, I've come that you may have not only life, but have abundant life, life to the full. This doesn't mean that everything in this life is going to be easy and grand and all that, but I promise you, it's the journey, going to our backpacking days, there was times that we're walking, it's like, man, did we get on the wrong trail? And when you see that corn, that you know you passed on the way in. It's like there's just something. You're just going, oh, we're on the right path. The world's trying to move the Carnes. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the steadfast stone. Church, I don't know about you, but I need him. I need him. To navigate these times, if nothing else, I need him. If you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, we are helpless, just like the lost sheep. We are helpless without you. We need you because, Jesus, you are the truth. You are the absolute truth. And there is no confusion with you. So teach us how to seek you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. May we be bright and shining light in a confused and hurting world. Teach us how to love, but love with truth. Show us how to communicate that lovingly. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, if you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about, please come seek me out. I'd love to talk to you more about that. Again, I will be out at this end of the foyer. I'd love to meet our guests.
Been held.
said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Go and be free, seek his truth, and go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.